All right, brothers and sisters. Brother George, hold on for a second. Let me put it in.
All right.
All right, Brother George, you are live. Hello?
I'm here.
Brother. Okay, there you go, brother.
All right. I'm gonna peace, everybody.
Yep.
Okay, so as Brother Lou stated earlier, we're not going to be all night tonight, but what I want to do is first just get your feedback. You know, for the last few weeks, we've been putting together a set of characteristics that we want to represent us as an organization. And many of us were, I think, turned on by this concept of black and black the remix. So that's why in the, for those who have the download, I put a question mark by it. So now this is a summary of all that work we all have done. And I think we've all have done some great work in putting this together. So now that we see it, discuss, is this it? Do we want to commit to this? How does this make us feel? And first address that and see if this is something we all agree with and just get everybody's feelings on the table on this one and then determine next steps from there. So with that, just like to open up the floor for anybody who wants to jump in and share their feelings about this summary.
Okay, hold on. Sister Mai, I just sent that to you, sister, so let me know, let me know if you received it. So if everyone has the, Sister Sandra, hold on for a second, Sister Sandra, Brother Vaughn, give me a second here. Let me get my notes in front of me so that I can know where everyone is. Yes, Sister Sandra. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you can.
Okay. I did get a chance to look over that summary, which is really great, I think. And it kind of got me a little motivated because of just, you know, looking at the quotes of Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X and all. It was very good.
Okay, so I want to recap. So, because I know you you just came on board. So the
right.
where it says traits of character, those are, so we went through this multi-week process where we were discussing, where we were all contributing different character traits that we would like to see in fellow members. And the purpose of that was to identify like-minded brothers and sisters. So like when you come on a Thursday call, and then we invite people to join us, we're looking for people to have these characteristics, to have these character traits. And so we worked on that for about 5 weeks. And so essentially, those character traits are the distillation or the summary of what we came up with. And then in terms of traits of mentality, that's the mindset that we're looking for members to have. And so when we go out there, and if you know anyone that has, you know, first of all, that even cares about, you know, some growth and development and improvement for the black community or for our people, this is like the measuring stick that you would use to, you know, to decide whether or not they would be someone worth inviting on a call or even letting them know about what's going on.
Yeah, well, it's one nonprofit group that I'm working with now, and they're called Voice for My People. And the CEO of the company, his name is Walter. I can't even think of Walter's last name. But anyway, what he does, he go him and a group of people go into the city. It's a city called East Cleveland, and it was really destroyed back in the 80s. You know, it looks terrible. But he's been building that city up, plus they have a new mayor now that's working with the people. And we go into the city, we have like cleanup sessions to clean up the neighborhoods, and we're just trying to rebuild it. So basically, Walter Melton, that's his name. He's also on Facebook. He has two programs going, Voice for My People and Save Our Sons. Okay? So basically, and by him working with the mayor as well, we're trying to find funds to help build up the city as well and get young people and or whomever to bring businesses back to the city of East Cleveland. So I'm quite sure he would be very interested in hearing this call, the next time I can talk to him.
What did you say his name was again?
Walter Melton Sr. That's M-E-L-T-O-N, Melton. Walter Melton Sr. And the name of the organization is Voice for My People. /, Save Our Sons.
Okay, got you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you, sister.
You're welcome.
Brother Vaughn.
Peace, brothers and sisters. How everybody doing?
Peace, brother.
Well, first off, I'd like to say I just love the people that we can use to represent like strength and positivity for our people. Like, just looking at the people that you got on here, like Malcolm and Mandela and Muhammad Ali, like those people, like I know a lot of people don't really know like who they really are, like on when you boil everything down and look at what the news tell them and all that stuff, but like the strength that we have and just people that we can use to represent, you know, or move forward, like, this is why. You know what I mean? They fought for this, and these are people that people can really, like, relate to. Like, you know, if they haven't heard the whole truth, to hear it, it changed mind. Like, a lot of people think Malcolm X was just all about that marching. I mean, Martin Luther King was just all about marching. But by the time he died, Martin Luther King had an arsenal and an army. Like, his mind was changed. He was looking at things way different. Just to see, like, you know, Garvey and, you know, the quotes that you got from these people, like, these are the people who really fought for us to do what we're doing right now. They like, opened that door for us to even think in this this manner, you know. And with that said, I really think, like, you know, the things you chose, like, I think you put thought into, you know, these traits. Because looking at just the character traits, intellect, humor, loyalty, integrity, commitment, open-minded, dependable, soulful, resilient, selflessness, passionate. Like, that describes everybody on this phone call right now. That's where we all are right now. Like, and that's what we need. That's what we need to look forward to. And, woo, man. I've been just on spreading the word and stuff like that. It's you was absolutely right. It's gonna take a long time, and we're gonna have to be enduring. Like, it ain't no give up, ain't no quit. We're gonna have to just stay fast for our mission, because. So
with the summary, now that we're looking at this from a big picture perspective,
right.
And you first went through it. Tell me emotionally how this document. I guess it's really is kind of a working document. If you before, you know, best intents here. Emotionally, how did this affect you, if at all?
Emotionally, I was moved. Emotionally, I was moved. Just when I looked at it at first, I was moved in a way, like, at first it was like, ooh, wee, and then you, it made me feel so, it made me feel powerful, because what I see, like, just looking at it, like, listening to the, reading the words that's wrote on here, the passage that you chose, what you chose to put, like, the words that you chose to put on here, the quotes that you chose, and the people that you chose the quotes from, it's so strong, it's so powerful to me that it's like, we can do anything we want to do. And they show it. They show that we can do anything we want to do. But you got to look at every one of them was singular, and they all did it by themselves, though. You know what I mean? It was just right. Them. It wasn't, first off, 2,000 founding members. So look, what if Marcus Garvey had 2,000 people that was with him that thought like him? Like, we wouldn't be going through this right now. Things wouldn't be it would be a massive change. So it made me feel real, real powerful. It made me gave me a lot of confidence, a lot of hope. It made me feel like, you know, even in a time of where I'm trying to deal with people and talk to them, knowing what I was going to go through because I've been through it, it's still like it was getting to me for, you know. But to look at something like this, it's just like, you know, all right, we got those people that don't want to hear it, but we got those people that it's ingrained in their blood, and they just need to hear it. That's it. And they're going to be on. It's going to be on. And so, man, it touched me. It touched me real, real strong.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Brother Vaughn.
Well,
Sister Raina.
Hi, how are you guys?
Peace.
So I was looking at the whole document. I think it is a great, great start to whatever it is that we are pushing towards. Four traits of character, they have to all be the same verb tense. So if you say that a member has intellect, right, either you're going to say these are the traits, or a member has intellect, a member has humor, a member has loyalty, so on and so forth. So if you say that, then you would say a member has open-mindedness.
Okay.
A member is dependable. A member is so forth. A member is resilient. A member is selfless. So the ness would not be there.
Well, I'll tell you what, that is a great, you know, because words do matter.
Absolutely.
Yes, words do matter, because that's real energy. That's real, you know, the way you use the word will definitely have a tangible impact. Would you mind sending Brother Lou those verbiages the way that you stated?
Sure.
I think that is excellent. Thanks for that observation. That's a very powerful one.
Go ahead. Yes.
Because we need to be clear where we're going.
We need to be clear, absolutely. I feel that pride needs to be on here in some type of way if we want to add that to character or mentality. I understand that love of self is very similar. Is that where pride should be? Is that how you interpreted love of self as pride?
Tell me how you see pride and why you feel pride should be added to that.
I think we're here because we do believe in ourselves, we love ourselves, and we have pride in who we are. And I think that there's a lot of Black people out there who do have pride in who they are, and they can identify with that word.
Okay. I think we should put it in the mix for consideration for everybody and see.
Brother
Luke said this has been a multi-series process.
Yeah.
The word that we're putting in is extremely important, and, you know, one word can have different interpretations for every single person.
I'm gonna tell you something, right? So she's saying pride, and as I was just explaining, as I was like giving the summary to the other sister, I'm realizing that we don't even have something like the first thing. The person has to even want to do something for our people, or even have to want to be involved.
Right.
I just realized like we don't even have that. Like that should be the number one priority, that you even care enough to actually, that you care about what the problem is, and you are so motivated to do something.
Yes.
I think that is something, that should be paramount, because if all this other stuff, it means nothing if you're not, motivated enough to actually do anything.
So a word for that is proactive.
Mm.
First, it should be described in the most plain way, the most plain and simplest way possible, right? So you give it a word like proactive, right? So then someone has to make a leap of understanding.
Okay.
I think it should be very plain. Like, I mean, for lack of a better word, like, you need to care about black folks and want to do something to help black folks. Like something like plain and simple like that. Now, I haven't massaged the words right now, because I told Brother George, I'm doing a lot of other work, and so my brain is a little. But it needs to be something to that effect. Brother George can massage it. Sister, you seem to be something of a wordsmith, so perhaps you could work, I put you in touch with the brother, and you guys can massage the words. But it's something specific, something that cannot be misconstrued, because that's really one of the things that I like to do. I like to be very clear when I'm trying to communicate and get the thought across. And I think if we have the people who are acutely aware of the problems, or that there is a problem within our community and want to do something about it. That's first. Now, what you're going to do, what problem you observe, all of that other stuff is secondary to the fact, because I actually have been on the phone with a few people this week who do not see anything wrong in our community. They think that because we have the opportunities to, and I mean, it's the life that they're living. They feel that because we have the opportunities to do any and everything that we want to do, on an individual level, they feel that, so then there's no excuse for the collective. And to be honest with you, so a lot of that has to do with geography, right? And I'm really, really learning that. So there are different opportunities available to you based on where you live. There's a certain mentality that's prevalent, based on where you live. There are certain things, certain limitations of things that are being passed on to you, through family, through your environment, through whatever it is, all right? And it may not even be true anymore, but it's just the prevalent mentality, or a mentality that has been adopted from, the past, and it's just being passed on.
We can make it very plain and then / proactive. whatever word.
Whatever. Help brother formulate that. That's
I sure will. I sure will.
Yeah. Okay,
yes,
great.
I invite all your input on that.
Okay, great. All right, thank you. Is there any other feedback, sister?
No, that's fine for now. That's it.
Thank you. Awesome observations. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next we have Sister Latasha, and this Sister Mai. Yes, Sister.
It was answered during the Q&A that you just had previously. I just didn't know how to get out the out the queue.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay. And so what was the question?
No, I was. It was about the verbiage of the quote. It was simple, a simple critique. And also, one other thing. Also, I understand that several other men made beautiful quotes and had me, had my chest puffed out with the quote from Malcolm X and everybody. But make it a you know, throw a woman in there or two.
Angela is right there with the black code.
Okay, I see one woman, but I've seen several quotes from, you know, several different men. You know, just
Who else would you like to see? Let's put it in there. Who are some of the people that really inspire you and motivate you from the feminine side?
Believe it or not, I don't want to sound cliche-ish, but it's going to sound a little cliche-ish. Is Harriet Tubman. She was a real inspiration.
Oh, no, that's not cliche at all. No, I definitely agree. Yeah, who else?
I can't think of anybody else because she has really been on my mind here lately.
Mm-hmm.
I'm drawing a blank right now.
She's an amazing story. So I'm gonna give you an assignment. I'm gonna give you an assignment. Like I gave my son, Sister Sandra, find those inspirational women that you feel are relevant to this, and then shoot those to Brother Lou, because this is a working document. So there's no limits to this, and we all need to, you know, we need to find as much inspiration in this document as well as the technical aspect of the economic goal we're shooting for. It has to be emotionalized. So whatever that takes, and if that's what you're seeing, then we need to. I'm for adding it in, if it makes sense.
Okay. No problem.
Yep. Okay. Thank you so much for that feedback. Sister Mai, her phone is fall dropping in and out. Let me see if she's back. Where is she? There she is. Sister Mai?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, sister.
Okay, great. So really good. I, you know, as you just sent it to me, so I've been reading it while I'm driving, but I'm in traffic.
Really?
I know. Sorry. But what jumped out to me was actually what Brother Lou said, is that there's nothing in there that says that you're compelled to help. I don't know that and I was trying to think of the, you know, actually how do you put that into one word? And then I saw that you had some that had more than one word. So compelled to help or convicted to uplift your people or, you know, something like that, that's really important. I agree. Like, he just took the words out of my mouth, basically. That was the first thing that jumped out at me that's missing. I think paramount. The thing was, actually, two of the sisters said the same thing as well. I thought about, you know, another female would be nice. The Harriet Tubman part, her quote, the one where she talks about, you know, I freed 1,000 slaves, I would have freed 1,000 more if they'd only known they were slaves.
Yeah.
That quote. But then
that's
also
exactly
the one
that I was thinking about that. Yep, that's a powerful one.
Yes.
Right. Another one, and I can't think of her name. I think it was Mary who originally said that. It's a long quote, and I don't know it all, but basically it's saying...
Mary J. Blige? What Mary are you talking about?
No. No, the one that says that.
She said Mary J. Blige.
Is that Mary J. Blige? Mary McLeod Bethune? No?
Oh, her phone probably. She's gonna hop back in a second. Just give me a second. So let me see. Oh, we got somebody else that's in the queue. She's in and out. She's driving around mountains and things like that right now. So let's take Sister Shauna until she gets back in. Sister Shauna?
I'm here. Hello, brothers and sisters.
Hello, Sister Shauna.
I'm so happy we're having this conversation.
All right.
And I'm laughing because what I'm about to say, Brother Lou, is going to roll his eyes in the back of his head because we had this conversation on when we can bring this up. There is something I've been trying to get him to do for like 3 months, and he just won't do it. So...
I thought about telling people to watch.
Listen,
it, but you go ahead.
I don't know how many of you are familiar. It's no longer, they're trying to find a new home for it. There's a series on called Underground. And
right.
It's been taken off of WGN, and they're trying to find another home for it. And there's some big controversy that Oprah Network wouldn't pick it up and, you know, some other travesty. Okay. There is an episode, and I invite every brother and sister to just watch that one episode on the second season. You can find it either on the Amazon box or Hulu or Netflix. It's on either one of them. But it's the Underground Season 2, Episode 6, and it's called Minty. I watch that episode every single day after my morning meditation and the prayer. Every single day.
Really? Really?
Every single day. There is not, and it's an hour long. And that particular episode, thank you. And that particular episode is a monologue done by, oh my God, I can't think of the sister's name. She's playing the character of Harriet Tubman. But she does a monologue of Harriet Tubman, not of her life, but she's talking as if she's Harriet Tubman and talking about how she became who she is, how she decided to save the brothers and sisters from slavery. And then, you know, they have that famous quote online and everywhere where she says that she would have saved 1,000 more souls only if they knew they were enslaved. But there's something more meaningful behind it. And so she made a particular statement that kind of embodies the reason why I support this organization and the reason why I support us so vehemently. You know, why I'm so pro-us, but still try to hold us accountable, because that was the embodiment of her. She wanted to save us, but she believed that we still had to be accountable to ourselves. We still had to
That's
be responsible
correct.
For ourselves and not make excuses for what has been done to us. So there's one
so when
particular
you listen,
part.
When you listen, when you listen, when you listen to her at the beginning of your day, what does it emotionally do for you?
It emotionally motivates me. Like, it motivates me two ways. If I'm sad and having a pity party that particular day, like for whatever reason, you know, something's going on in the house with the family, something's going on at work that was screwed up. If I woke up that morning feeling some kind of way, like I want to feel sorry for myself, it immediately demolishes that. Like, it makes me feel like, who, I don't have time. You need me. You need me to be on my game. I don't have time to be sitting here feeling sorry for myself.
Okay.
Right? So the second emotion that I get is just that I can, that anything is possible, that if a woman that was enslaved and beaten and his horrific, I mean, we talk about all the things we've been through, but there's no way in the world possible that we can understand what they went through. That's why I think it's so important that we understand and respect the history, because there's something so important about it. So there's two emotions I get. I get extreme motivation, kick me up, and then it also pulls me out of my pity party. But she made one particular statement that I would say embodies everything, and I don't know how to turn it into a motto or to turn it into a saying or what. But she said, as I go along and help us through, I make sure I keep my pistol by my side just in case somebody changes my mind.
Okay now, okay. All right.
And I feel like that sometimes, you know, not all the time. It's like you're playing games with what we need to do with our community, with your family. I feel like I have to keep my pistol at your head because you can't give up.
Mm-hmm.
And that monologue is just so powerful to me. So I invite every last one of you all to find Episode 6, Season 2, of the Underground and just watch that one episode. And if that don't motivate you to motivate you, just period, then I don't know. Then you shouldn't even really be in this organization. Because it should.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I got. Okay. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you, sister. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And now we have a caller from 904 area code. Your first name, caller?
Yeah. Hold on. You hear me?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, this is Sister Ford. I've been away for a while.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, sister.
Well, I've been sick, and then I had a death in the family, a very close member. So I've been going through quite a bit. So I'm back though.
Well, welcome back aboard.
Yeah. So this is my first meeting back. So and I've never forgotten Black Wallet Matters. So. I had a question about, and I was, this is my first, you know, meeting for a while.
Nope.
But why
no problem.
Is President Obama is on there? What was his purpose? Everybody else, because all of those the people had did a certain amount of sacrifice, I think.
Okay.
You know, to the point of career, death. You know, and I know that the rest of them. I don't know what
Okay, that's what I want to get into. What is it that is disconcerting to you about President Obama being on there, and be as real as you need to be about
it? Okay, well, I had an issue because he really, you know, he was our first Black president. When you compare him to Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Muhammad Ali, Dr. Claude Anderson, all of these people sacrificed and gave up.
So let me ask you, these are just probing questions I'm asking you about your feelings.
Sure.
Are you coming from a political perspective, or are you coming from a cultural perspective?
Cultural. Both.
Okay,
where I'm going with this.
Okay.
We've been talking about people, you know, what we have to do for our community. I don't see what President Obama did. You know what I'm saying? I see when we talk about self-sacrifice and us having to come together as a community.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm glad you brought that up and brought that out there.
And maybe a different perspective.
And that's okay. I mean, because, I mean, you know, people hit people different ways. And I'd be curious to hear anybody else who may have similar opinions as you about that, because obviously being the first, that's, you know, the first cut is the deepest. And some people perceive them one way, see some benefits, others see other way. And when I ask you, were you coming from political or cultural, always keep in mind that as Black people, so like to say, you know, that you take the most skilled and talented Black person to another Black person, he does not get half of the respect that that person is due as compared to his white counterpart.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm not saying that to change your opinion. I'm just trying to add additional context, because there are many of us on this conversation who have probably done some great things. Yet when you go out into your community and you try to express yourself and what you're good at doing inside your community, you don't get that same love, you don't get that same respect. And sometimes you'll even be, you know, invited out of a situation just because of what the skill set you bring, but because you look like the people you're trying to serve. So we have that mentality about us that we always have to be mindful of, especially if we're going to look at economic collaboration, which requires trust. It doesn't mean we're going to agree on everything, but it does require trust. And we might do things differently, but we've got to start stepping up the way we approach each other from a business and economic perspective, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I agree. But I just wanted to know, you know, what was the purpose. But I mean,
so
I
tell you,
I'll
answer your question. And it's a good question, so don't feel bad about asking that. You know, we got to be honest, we got to be real. We can't be fake about this because this is real stuff. And Brother Lou is looking for 100% commitment. So we need to be real. This is the time to get all the crap on the wall and to see what sticks.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say, I mean, I'm willing to compromise for the good. So I'm not,
okay.
You know, it's not,
okay.
It's not the end of the world. I just wanted to know why he was on there.
Okay. So I'll tell you my particular reason for starting with him is because that speech that he made upon acceptance of the presidency, many people, in my opinion, misinterpreted what he was saying. Many people have taken him to say, now that I'm here, it's a new nigga in town, new sheriff in town. Things are going to change. And people attributed him as being the change maker, when actually he was saying, we are the change we want to be. So he was, you know, Brother Lou used the word a few weeks ago, participative leadership. It's not about one person leading the way and doing it. This is a group effort. And that's what, in my opinion, my interpretation of this speech of President Obama was saying, hey, let's be that we're trying to be. This is our opportunity from the bottom up to be that. And in many ways, I see that parallel with Black Wallets Matter. And so now we spend all this time with amassing what we feel are important characteristics that we want to be representative of our organization. So in order to attract that, we've got to be that. And that was my primary psychological perspective of that.
Okay. So I would recommend, this is just me, you know, you can tell me to take a hike on the hot wire. But maybe you might want to put, but you can just, maybe you might want to say something like that he represents change.
Okay.
Because it's got to be, I mean, I just didn't know why he was there. So if that is the case, that, you know, you brought out a good point that, you know, he said that we have to be that change, then that maybe you might want to say something to that.
Okay.
Have his picture there. But that's just my recommendation.
I got you. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
So another one, I know the one late in the game coming in with all these ideas. I got I think one of the things that we, you know, I think about the mentality that the Black community has, and is that we are taught to become employees and consumers.
Yes.
We're not taught to become entrepreneurs. The biggest problem that we have, and I know Brother Lou said that a lot of people say that I'm comfortable where everything's at until they get called in the office and get, you know, their severance package and tell them to go on. The point here is not so much that you're feeling comfortable with a job. We as a community do not own anything. You know, we don't have, there's no industry that we own. And that's the point that we have to drive home. That is not a job.
Yes.
So, and that's where the power, when we become economically independent, that's where the power comes in at. And also I wanted to add for the women, in addition to Harriet Tubman, that I think that's also appropriate today would be appropriate with a lot of the things that's going on is Ida B. Wells.
Okay.
And Brother Lou, I can probably find something, that's a quote that will apply to her. And that's it.
Okay. Okay. All right, sister. Well, that was very substantive. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, thank you, sister, and welcome back.
Thanks.
Okay. Sister Shauna and then Sister Sandra.
Well, that was quick. I didn't think I was going.
You're not ready?
So, I'm ready. I just thought there was going to be like 35 more people. Okay. So, I just wanted to, I guess not respond. I don't, because I don't want it to sound like a confrontation with the sister about President Obama.
Okay.
And
okay.
I think you,
say what you gotta say.
But you, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head, and it kind of reverts back to the reason why I'm so motivated by Harriet Tubman, or that particular dialogue that I was talking about, because it's about realizing that independence that we want in the community has to first start with independence and acceptance of responsibility within ourselves.
Whoa, yes.
So yes. why all of these people that came before us, we needed them to do something for us. We needed particular leaders to do something for us. We needed saving. We don't need anybody to save us anymore.
Right.
We don't need anybody. We are strong enough and capable enough of saving ourselves, starting with our own selves, starting with our family. Right? And
right.
To me, that's exactly what Obama stood to me. I supported that campaign and I followed that campaign. I worked on that campaign because every time I heard him speak, every time he opened his mouth, every time I looked at his face and every time he spoke to me, I felt like he empowered me to do more for me. I went into business after being on that campaign.
So you
because
were actually there.
I was there.
Wow.
I was there. I was on the campaign. I was on the bus rides. I filled out voter registrations. I was there. I was there for his announcement in Birmingham, Alabama. I was there for his speeches and things that he did in all throughout Alabama. I got ran off the road in Alabama twice for having Obama 2008 stickers on my car. And we went through all of that. But what I also realized is that I gained the friendships that I gained from that campaign, I still have them now, which is why I can't have I can't have the hate all white people thought process in my head. All of them are the devils and God is going to strike them down. I can't have that kind of thought process because I've actually seen and had conversations and kind of understand why certain things that they feel about us, why they feel that way. And some of it, you kind of in your own head go, well, they kind of got a point. But you ain't gonna tell them
right.
that.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
But I understand, and a lot of them truly, truly in their heart don't have a bigoted or prejudiced bone in their body. Some of it they just don't understand.
But I
will say that Barack Obama did more for me, his presence, his initiative, his what he stood for, and he stood for us being accountable for us. That's what I took from all of his messages, that we are the change that we seek, that it's time for us to stand up right now and do what it is we want to see changed in our communities. I am empowering you right now. And if you come to me, and which is the main problem that Brother Lou talks about all the time, is that he comes to the people. I come to the people constantly offering a help. But help doesn't mean I do it for you and then you jump on the doggone bandwagon. Mm-hmm. Help me get your stuff together, have your stuff together, bring it to me, and then let me help you. Because believe it or not, Barack Obama created so many programs, so many grant programs, so many development, community development programs that we just did not utilize, that we didn't take to him. So I'm not being confrontational to the sister that was just on. I just think that we misinterpreted what he truly is and what he truly was when he became president. His whole message was really not about what he is going to do now that he's the supreme leader of the black community. No, I think people just misinterpreted that particular thing. That's all I got.
Okay, sister.
Powerful. Powerful.
All right. All right, so Sister Maya is back. She's been falling in and out. Sister?
Hi.
Give us what you want to say before you fall out.
Okay. I'm stable now, actually, but thank you. Not to beat a dead horse, but kind of piggyback on what everybody's saying in retrospect, well, regarding Obama, President Obama, be the change that you want to see was my, famous thing that I held on to with his campaign and even now as well. But I also met him personally, worked with him and his wife and his kids, and, like, they are really beautiful people internally. And for me, I mean, it really genuine people. And for me, it was the fact that he was willing. The reason I started to work for him, work for his campaign, and do all that I did, different states and everything else, was when his wife said, when President Obama was asked, before he was president, asked, what did he fear for his life? Because they had gotten all kinds of death threats. And she said, yes, they definitely, and so they asked her, are you afraid that, he'll get killed? And she said, yes, honestly, I am. She said, and we talked about that, of course. We have young daughters, and, of course, he doesn't want to leave, but he feels that it's worth it. And we feel, we made a family decision that it's worth it. And so because he was willing to sacrifice his life, thank God he didn't have to, but he was willing to, and his entire family collectively made that decision that it was worth it. I was like, I'm going to do everything I can in my power to help get this man elected and pray that he doesn't get killed. And that happened. So I also think it's important to have younger people, as we are trying to, as the letter said, attract, Gen Y, millennials, centennials. I think we should have people that they can relate to. On this as well, not just everybody who's gone on, although they're important. I'm not saying eliminate, but I do think we should add another person. I thought about is Jill Scott Heron has a lot of quotes that, I think maybe the younger generations can relate to that I like. And then that one that I was trying to think of before, it's Miriam. I found her and I got to go back to that page, but she wrote the Our Deepest Fear poem.
Okay.
And I think she's white, though. That's the problem. Miriam Wilson. But there's so much in that one poem that if we just took one quote, like one sentence out of them, I just like this one. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Like, I love that. There's just so many lines in this whole, poem that are awesome. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure.
We are powerful, yes, beyond measure.
It is our light. And do you guys want me to read this whole thing or no? It's not.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. So our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people will not feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We are born to manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us. It is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give others permission to do the same. We are liberated from our own fear. I mean, as we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
What's the name of the poem? What's the name of the poem again?
Our Deepest Fear.
Our Deepest Fears.
And it's by Marion Deborah Williamson. Marion Williamson.
But is she? Here's my comment on that. So you said she's white, right?
I think she looks mixed, honestly. I'm not sure what she is. She could be, you know, one of us, but.
Okay. All right. And the only reason why I'm saying that is because, so the purpose of it is not just to read motivational quotes, because we can find motivation
in
everyone. It's people who have some type of cultural significance. So that way when the pictures are, right, so you look at those pictures, you know, he adds it to this document, we immediately recognize and internalize someone, because whether we realize it or not, we have a strong affinity to every single one of these pictures. Whether we like the person or not, we immediately recognize Barack Obama. He elicits some type of emotional response. Nelson Mandela, Ali, you know, Angela Davis, you know, all of these people that are here, as soon as we look at them, they create some kind of, you know, connection to who we are and whatever it is, and then that allows us to dig deeper into the message. That also allows us to connect to this document. So I do understand that the sister requested that we have, you know, some women portrayed there, but the thing about it is we can't get too abstract with it. So you know, someone who he was mentioning Mary Bethune. I forgot what her middle name is, but she has a school. So we know who her name, you know, like, so you may know her name, but if we were to have like that picture of her and a quote or something, it would be a total disconnect. So, you know, I just want to mention that, you guys. So,
well, that's what I was saying too about President Obama in terms of being attracted to the younger generations, because it's somebody in their lifetime, somebody that they know. And then also what was also very striking to me about him is that his integrity and his relationship with his family and his wife. He is a husband to one wife. You don't hear anything about any other kids on the outside. There was no dirt, as hard as they tried. The worst they could find was saying he might not be a citizen. But to just show that a black man could marry a black woman, stick with that woman, not have any outside affairs, other kids, or anything else, to me that is a strong role model that we need to see more of. So that's another just plug for him. And then the last thing I wanted to mention back to the document about, I just think that on the traits of mentality, teachable and open to new things, number 3 and number 4, to me those kind of say the same thing. I just felt like that was duplicative. I couldn't really find, I don't know, a difference. And I thought, especially if we're trying to keep it to 10, that it should be replaced with what I said earlier, and that's having being convicted to help, you know, your own people. So
is that a mentality or a character? Is that a character trait or a mentality?
I think it's a mentality. I think it's a mentality, because it's a conscious decision. You have to make a conscious effort. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yep. So, and I believe that that should come first, and then having the heart of a champion should definitely come second. And I kind of want to hop on that real quick. I'm not going to be too long because we got other brothers of people in the queue. But the main thing, though, that heart of a champion, you know, I speak with a lot of you brothers and sisters, you know, behind the scenes. And I'm telling you, that is the common quality, or that is the common trait you all have, whether you realize it or not. People, they're having trials and tribulations. They have things going on in their lives, and then they're bouncing back. They're finding the strength to bounce back. And I'm telling you, that's what's going to, you know, that's what it's going to require, you know, to tackle the challenge that we are facing. We're going to need that resilience, and we're going to have that
that belief that, hey, listen, you know what, we can win. Because I'm telling you, this thing is daunting. You guys, I mean, if you could just see some of the emails I get some of the time from, like, some of the folks, and, you know, some of that stuff, it wears on me. It wears me down. I'm not lying. It's like, you got to be kidding me. It's like we're doing this, every weekend, week out, you know, for a year, you know, coming on a call one, two times a week or whatever it is for 2 hours or whatever. This thing is exhausting, not to mention the other work that gets done behind the scenes, not to mention the neglect that, you know, not to mention how I'm neglecting my own personal life and things like this. I still have people who have been, like, on our email list since, like, last April or something like that, still questioning, like, what we're trying to do as an organization, questioning me. I mean, if any of you, you know, people, so the people that I speak to outside of this, you know what kind of person I am. I'm not accustomed to answering to people. I'm not accustomed to having people. No, I'm dead serious. I'm not accustomed.
Right.
I'm not that kind of guy. I mean, I have a very forceful personality outside of this, right? So I have to be benevolent and I have to open this thing up because I don't know everything. And then, and like I said, I'm learning, right? The regional differences is something that it don't matter how much traveling I've done. I could never tell you what your black experience is, the way that you grew up and where you live and in your environment. And so I have to internalize that and try to come up with something that encompasses that or something that works to your benefit as well as to my black experience. When we communicate, or when I send out an email, or I'm trying to communicate that, listen, nothing can get done unless we have money. We still have folks in this day and age who don't quite understand that, who thinks, oh, you're just trying to get money. Why are all black organizations about money? And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, you got to be kidding me. Like, we've been saying we need 2,000 founding members since last year. We still haven't got it. So how much money, like, do you think that we're collecting? You know what I'm saying? Like, that, those kinds of things I get, right? Even if you would like to do the math in your head or whatever it is, right? So it's stuff like that that it, like, wears on me. It's like, okay, cool, you're trying to find any and every excuse. And on our
right.
Thursday calls, I kind of, like, start setting up, like, these softballs, right? I'm asking people, hey, do you care about what's going on? Do you identify problems? Yeah. Hey, what are your solutions? Do you think you can solve this by yourself? And people are like, no, I definitely can't solve it by myself. Okay, cool. You think you're going to need to unite with a group of people? Yeah. Hey, you think you guys can solve this thing without pooling your resources? You think you guys have enough money to do this? Or you individually? No, we're definitely going to have to pool the resources. Well, then that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And so now you have to start. So when we have – so Sister Marilyn, right, so she heard that. She became a member on, I believe, last week's call. Brother Greg came on recently as well. We have some other members. And then we have members from a while back, right? So we have people who have been members for a long time. Like, Sister Deborah used to be on the calls when there were probably 11 of us or something like that. So she's been down for a long time. The evolution, the kinds of conversations that we're having here where we're trying to really fix ourselves to work together, I'm telling you guys, this is so important. This is so important because I don't want to feel like I have to do it by myself. I can't. We all have to be on one accord.
Yeah.
If someone is dragging your name through the mud, or someone is questioning you in regards to this organization, I want to be able to defend you without even understanding the nature of the discussion or whatever, because I know that as a member, you embody these characteristics, you embody these traits, you have this mentality. I want to be able to defend you the way how I would defend one of my family members, because that's really what it's going to take for us to go out here. You know, spring is rolling around, so we talk about doing some community cleanup efforts and, you know, some of these other different things. That's really what it's going to take. It's going to take us to defend one another. And then in our darkest moments, our moments of doubt, we're going to need to motivate and uplift one another.
Right.
That's really what it is. We're going to have to foster that, you know, that bond amongst us. We're a group of, we're unrelated folks. We don't know each other. And we get together a couple of times a week and we try to build and we try to foster something that's very real and then try to put forth something into the community and create some momentum so that the others, right, so we all have to understand that we have to set the example. We know our folks. We know they're not going to respond unless they actually can see it and touch it. So we have to visualize it. And when like I said in the blueprint, I said, listen, here's the vision. Help me build the thing. This is the process. This is the building process. This is us digging the foundation and, you know, laying the pillars and pouring the cement and, you know, all of that. That's what these calls are about. That's what this process is about. So I just want to see that. Go ahead, sister.
So there's one, actually there's a few of Jill Scott's quotes that what you just spoke to. That I just want to say you got to grow and it got to hurt. I like that one. And then just because you have a nightmare doesn't mean you stop dreaming. And then this one too, this last one reminds me, because I feel this way a lot, is that if you can't help me grow, there's no point in you being in my life. And I know we don't want to have that attitude, but it's like we already know everybody's not going to come along. Everybody's not going to be like-minded. We don't want those type of people who've been on here
people and don't find the value in it. I mean, you know what I mean? You can't, like, you can't pull everybody along. Everybody's just not going to get it. So it's like a waste of time. At some point, you got to just, you know, cut the ties and keep it moving. And then the last thing I wanted to say about that another sister brought up about using the word pride, because I think we may have, when we were coming up with these words, somebody may have said that before. And I just want to remind maybe why we didn't put it on here is because that's, you know, there are a lot of Christians that believe in the word. And so one of the things that the oppositions we get to that word is a scripture that says pride comes before destruction. And so it's just not considered a good characteristic to have.
Yeah.
And there will be a lot of people who just take it there, who automatically think of, you know, scripture. So saying it in other words, that you, I think love of self, what may have been the where that came from as a result of trying to find different words and verbiage for that. So I just wanted to remind us.
Right. I know we had passion and motivation. I know we had passion and motivation, and I don't see that on there either. I see passion is
on there. Yeah.
The motivation I think is really important as well, though. But, all right. Well, we got a few people in the queue. You anything else, sister?
No, thanks.
Okay, brother Greg, you haven't had a chance to comment on anything tonight. Peace, brother.
Hey, peace. These are some powerful communications here when I get on the line. First, I want to tell you, brother, no, you cannot do it by yourself. And if you try, then I think that'd be the time I'll get off board. Okay? You can't do this mission by yourself.
Impossible.
Okay? It's going to take a lot of voices that I've heard on this call. And then again, I tuned in a little late, so I don't know what the agenda was, so I'm just going to speak on what I've heard, especially about Obama. You know, when we understand that he was a wonderful guy, I don't think they could have picked a better black man to be president. You know, because we had to have one. Which I thought, I didn't think it would, you know, be possible in my time. But it was an excellent choice. But the president only carries out the agenda of the quote unquote 1%. Mm-hmm. Okay. You can't see if you're not willing to die for a cause.
That's right, brother. Then, freedom ain't free.
Yeah. I mean, you're really not, you know, you shouldn't step up, you know, to the plate. Okay.
That's right.
Martin Luther King and all of our great leaders were willing to die for that cause.
Right.
Okay. So, and the sister said, you know, she spoke on you know, that Michelle knew, you know, was afraid of him, you know, being killed and everything. Well,
mm-hmm.
he knew it was a possibility of that happening. Okay. And any great black leader that steps up to the plate has to be willing to die.
Yes.
And you know, we must do that too. All right. It's a saying of if you're not, if you don't stand for something, you fall for anything. Well,
right.
You know, we have to be willing, you know, to die for our cause. You know, I'm an old man now, 65, and you know, I'm not going to do a whole bunch of marching and all that kind of stuff because I've done that. I've seen, you know, quite a bit in my lifetime. But if it comes a time when I have to for my cause, I'm gonna do that. And when we get enough people in this here mission, you know, the Black Wallet Matters thing, when we get enough people thinking on that term, because that's what we need to do. It's about
right.
It's about the thinking. You know, when we change
right.
the thinking of
right.
Of our, then change is going to happen. Okay, and that's the only way it's going to happen. You know, but it. You know, I understand that we need 2,000 members of this, that, and the other thing. But you know what? I'm just going to do me, all right? I'm going to do my part. And I think everybody who does their part, then, you know, it's going to be drawn. We don't have to go looking too much. Now, I don't want to get Brother
Lou
mad at
me. That's true.
Yeah,
That's true.
I don't want Brother Lou to get mad at me in the marketing thing because I do believe in marketing. But if we are doing the right thing as an organization, it's not going to be a problem with
you're right.
drawing people. The problem is going to be drawing the right people, okay, and making sure that our organization stays pure to the vision, okay, and make sure it's not infiltrated because we're going to get it. We're going to get it all. You know what I'm saying? You know, I look back at all my leaders. I look at some of the organizations like the Black Panthers. You know, they grew out of trying to protect our community, just like what we're trying
totally
to.
Totally misunderstood. They were totally misunderstood.
Oh yeah, no question, no, without a doubt. You know, but they was, you know, man, they always, you know, try to make us believe that, you know, something else. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
but
you
see,
know,
that
it's
gets
all
into,
about the thinking.
That gets into Dr. Claude Anderson's five levels of control, one of those being control of your own narrative. And
right.
that's one thing that we need to employ in our tactics is controlling and creating our own narrative.
No question. And that's real. That's real, real. Okay.
Yes.
Because, you know, the enemy is always going to, you know, try to, you know, take you off course. And,
right.
you know, when I, you know, a lot of what I've heard is very positive about, you know, once we realize who we really are.
There you go.
Then the power is there. You know, I mean, we can only do but so much. But I guess my point is do all you can. Okay. And leave it like that. You know what I mean? Don't try to overdo it or don't underdo it. But just do just do what we can and I have no misgivings about what I'm doing because I, you know, like I said, I like the vision. I'm listening in. I kind of missed a couple of them because of my business, but I just like what I'm hearing, okay, and what I'm in my spirit, the way my spirit is.
That's good, bro.
That's all I have to say.
Thank you so much, brother.
Thank you, brother.
All right, and Sister Deborah Ford. Yes, sister. Hello, sister? You are live. Sister Deborah Ford.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is in response to all of us. I think, when we bring up, we need to quote, you know, what he represents. We may all have differences, but that's okay. We all have a common purpose. And so it's not, you know, the thing is that we all are coming together to make, because we all have dreams bigger than ourselves. And also, lastly, I just wanted to add with Brother Lou, you don't have to, and I guess it's one of the sisters that have brought it up, that, you know, you're just going to have to just say, look, you know, if this is not your thing, then it's not your thing. You know, I mean, if they're going to ask you about $20 a month, just tell them to keep it. You know.
In terms of that, you know. All right. So let me just tell you. So how we started having these types of calls, how the organization has evolved. It has evolved from by being very clear about who we want. So actually, it started with Brother Will. So Brother Will, I want to say around November maybe, he came on, and we so this was on our Thursday call, and I was communicating something to everyone on the call, and everyone was jumping in with their own ideas about what I'm saying and what the blueprint is, and they haven't read the blueprint or whatever. And he basically reiterated to them what the overall purpose was and the objective. The overall objective was, and I mean, he kind of like refocused me back on it, right? Because the ultimate goal here that we're going to create change is leaving a legacy, and that's through these community resource centers. That's providing opportunities for our brothers and sisters that need it, so that we as a people in the future will be prepared to create and seize our own opportunities, so that our children will not be growing up with this ratchet mindset, so that these babies won't be raising babies, so that we have a total new definition of what being black means. That was the whole purpose of the organization. That's the whole purpose of talking about any kind of business. The whole purpose of business is to be able to support these community resource centers. The whole purpose of having the membership is so that we can have revenues that will be able to cover the missteps that we make as we're growing along. Because, I mean, we've never done this before. So when you don't know how to do something, then there's, you know, you got to figure it out. And I know about, you know, when you're trying to build something, if you got enough money to live and survive and fight another day, then, you know, that increases your odds of success. So when he came on the call, when he reiterated, you know, I said, you know what, brother, yes, that's 100% right. You know what, I'm going to refocus my message, and I am going to tailor it specifically on that. And, I mean, we lost so many people when I changed the message. When I got back and refocused, we have so many people unsubscribe when I started saying, nope, this is what this organization is about. This organization is not about you trying to create your own business and be rich so that you can leave the community and not contribute. Now, if we help you do whatever it is, then we expect that you're going to continue to contribute and help this organization. That's what our expectation is. And, I mean, we lost a lot of people. We lost a lot of people with that. And then I was like, you know what?
I'm fine with that. Because as we begin having these member meetings, everyone has gotten so close. Everyone it's like everyone is marching to the beat of the same drum. And I'm like, yes, these are the folks that I need to be, and I need to be with, that I need to build with. And then so that's how we're able to, or that gives me the energy to go on a Thursday call where we may have 50 or 60 people on the call or 100 people on the call, and then may only be speaking to one. Like last week, it was Sister Marilyn. That's it. That's who we were speaking to out of, I don't even know how many people were on the call last week. So, but she's here, and she has jumped into this organization with both feet. I mean, she has been, you know, she's come on board, and she has supported. And that's allowing us to move our agenda forward, and then to find when we initially started finding the characteristics that defined us as an organization, that's how we brought in Brother Greg. We got two Brother Gregs. We got another Brother Greg too that came from that same message, where we define who the characteristics of the people that we're looking for. So this isn't just an exercise of futility. This is stuff that we're actually using in regards to the marketing. We're asking people specifically, hey, do you have these characteristics? Because this is what we are about. This is who we are. If that makes sense to you, then come on, boy, come on to the other side. It has not been as many people as it was before, but we have quality folks, and I'm fine with that. And I'm fine with that. But some of the things that maybe you guys don't see is some of the things that I do in terms of working with the people who are on our subscribers list. So we got about, I don't know, maybe about 17,000 people on our subscriber email, you know, on a different email list that we have, right? You know, I'm inviting them to different training. They get totally different types of emails from you guys. Like, I only send you guys notifications about things that are going on. I have, so people express interest in business. They get different types of emails. There's other people who want personal financial information and things like that. They get different types of emails. That's information. That's time I'm just taking to try to help and benefit those folks. And then when it's like, now it's time for you to make an investment in yourself, or you're taking away from the time that I could be spending on the organization as a whole, they're still like, but why are you charging to help black people, or why does it cost? I'm like, are you out of your mind? Yeah. And I just can't understand how anyone who's in our ecosystem is still asking those kinds of questions. That's the thing that troubles me a little bit, because I feel that our ecosystem, I mean, so we're not out there beating our chest trying to, like, you know, be, you know, we have like these black leaders right now. You know, you got like Umar and Nasheed and all these guys, and these guys are acting like rappers, and they're beefing, and they're doing all of this stuff, right? I'm not even trying to have the organization associated with anything like that.
Right.
I'm trying to make sure that we're just solidly moving forward. I specifically target older brothers and sisters, right? So I try to find brothers and sisters who are 30 and older, right, and people who are actively trying to do certain things or whatever it is, by the weeding out process. So just coming in our ecosystem, I figure that you should have a certain mindset, and the main thing is you should be an adult. You should be an adult, and you should understand that trying to build something it's going to require some kind of investment. And if that doesn't pertain to you, then at the very least, you should say, okay, cool, well, thank you for the information that you shared to try to help me either build my business or straighten out my credit or whatever it is, whatever kind of information you have. People being ungrateful and then still trying and still having disparaging words and things like that, it troubles me, because as Brother Lou, I can't react the way that I would if I wasn't in this thing. So I kind of have to, like, eat that. And like I said, that's not really my personality. I have a really forceful personality.
I would never assume that about you, Luke.
Yeah. So I don't like it. And so it's kind of like people playing me, right? So I'm like, I don't like people playing me. I really don't like it. So, that's basically what I was saying. So it is 100% right. So I have to like let it roll off my back and, you know, take a deep breath and meditate and things like that. But I'm just saying, like, it's like at this point in the game, like, all right, you know, it's not for you. That's fine. Just shut up. And it's people who they come on the Thursday calls a lot, and they contribute a lot. And some of them have been coming on the calls for months, and so they'll jump on, and you'll hear them contributing, and it sounds like they really grasp and understand what the organization is about. And then you're like, but you still have like your personal little hangups about it. It's just crazy. It's just crazy. So that was just me venting and sharing with the brothers and sisters. That's all. And thank you guys for being there.
Well, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Hang in there. You got, and you know, it will get bigger. I mean, this is groundbreaking, so it's hard, but you know, it's just changing the mindset. So, and as far as them wanting to start a business, I mean, Dr. Boyce Watkins has one of those school of business things. Send them there.
Yeah, I was actually going to start doing that. It's just like, hey, here you go. To be honest with you, but I really wanted to be helpful because I have a unique perspective on business startups. And I got a lot of experience with it, right? And so some of the material that I looked at that he had, a lot of it is like not really necessary to get off the ground going. Most folks, you kind of need to throw them into the fire to figure it out along the way, which was the reason for the fundraiser, right? So you get somebody out there, you throw them in the fire, and they have to go out there now. You got to go make some sales. You got money coming in. That's essentially what a business is. The studying and the research and the this businesses breaks down into, you know, do you have some customers, do they want what you got, can you reach them? That's basically what business boils down to. So but thank you so much, sister.
If I can interject, I know we're over our time and I don't want to be all night with this. I know we have a few people left. Again, my goal is to get everybody's input about the summary. I want it to be not just words, but emotion, because if we commit to this, I want us emotionally committed as well as verbally committed. And so I'd like to just kind of keep that in our forefront. And how many people we got left in the queue there, Brother Lou?
We just got Brother Vaughn, and then we can shut it down. But I mean, okay. This is a good call, man. This is good.
I mean, you can always tell when people ain't trying to rush off that you're doing something right. So this is good.
Yeah. All right. So, Brother Vaughn, thank you, Sister Deborah. Please. All right. Brother Vaughn.
Hello.
Yep.
I just wanted to make a few comments on a few things. Like one thing, and this is real big for me, because one thing we are doing is we are changing the mold. Like America got a mold for black people that they've had for hundreds of years. And what you've been seeing is that mold being, you know what I mean, circulated through America. Like we gonna change that mold, and that's not like that for a lot of people. Just changing itself ain't easy, you know. Like, but what you said, I remember you saying, like, I'm sick and tired of this, being sick and tired of the same thing.
Right.
I'm past that point. I'm because it's been the same thing. And now we got to change that mold. And once we get to that point, as the founding members, once we get there where the mold is changed, then people will see what we're trying to say, you know, because they'll see a difference. It'll be different. They're going to see the difference in us because we're changing that mold. We don't want to put out the same old thing that they've been putting out. Like you said, like if it's Black 2.0, it's upgraded Black, or whatever it is, like it's going to be different than what y'all used to seeing.
Upgrade.
And then another thing, like, and I know your frustration because I talk to a lot of people, and the first thing they keep saying to me is, what are you doing with the money? How are they going to help us start our business? And my response be, we not. This ain't got nothing to do with you. This is not about you. This is not an organization about you. This is an organization about what you can do for us,
right?
What you want to do for us. What are you going to do for us? It's not about you. So, like, I keep hearing you say it, too, and I keep hearing it. Like, it's the first thing. It's like, Brother Lou, you know, like, I was paying money. I wasn't calling in. I was a member and everything, and I wasn't, it was just, because it's not, like, come on, man, $50 a month, like, if you got a job and you can't budget $50 a month, like, you need us anyway. You need to talk to a couple people on this line, you know what I mean? They can help you out a little bit, you know what I mean? Help you get yourself together in a few areas and cases. So, like, we on this call, I can tell, too, everybody on this call, ain't nobody on this call controlled by money. What we see is the mold of people that are controlled by money that we run into more than anything when you ask a person for a membership fee. You know what I mean? But they'll go out and spend that money on nothing every day. Not even think about it. And they spend it on nothing every day. Not even, it's just careless to them, but that's their mold. They are part. That's the natural norm, and that's what we do. But to put some money behind something that can change the mold, they don't even know what that means. They have no understanding of that. So we I love the focus, and I love the fact that we're not controlled by money. That was a big thing to me, you know, being able to hear a lot of people on calls that, like, I just give you some money on the situation. Like, I don't want to do la 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 la. I got a couple dollars for you, though, la 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 la. You know, just the offerings and things of that nature. Like, you don't get that. People don't do that. Because that money means so much to them. Like, I ain't about to give you something. I ain't got to.
Right.
So it's a mold, and once we change that mold, like another caller was saying, like, once you doing the right thing, and that mold get changed, people see that different, it's they're gonna flock.
Right.
And then, like you say, it's gonna be a thing of weeding out at that point.
Thank you so much, brother. Thank you so much.
Okay.
We got Brother Leon in the queue. Brother Leon.
Brother Leon, peace, Brother Leon.
Peace there, brothers. Hey, I'm in my car on the side of the road. I had to work tonight, so I apologize. I wasn't able to get into the call. I've been on the call now about 40 minutes listening. But Lou, could you give me the subject matter where we started off at? I just got off of work, pulled on the side of the road, and here I am. But I wanted to be counted in. That's why I kept making the call now. So what did we start? Yes, sir. I want to be counted in. Okay, so where did we start?
So essentially what we were doing, so you remember what we've been doing the past few weeks with Brother George, working on defining, you know, the characteristics and the mentality,
yes,
of members for the organization, right? So essentially what we were doing, so from all the weeks, he had summarized the character trait, and he had summarized the mentality trait, and we were just basically sharing that with everyone. So there was a PDF that I sent out. I don't know if you got it today. It said download and read. And so we were basically going over that PDF, but we have a lot of – right, so we basically were going that, and we were just getting feedback from the members to see if, you know, if these character traits, if these mentality traits, if they resonate with you, things that may need to be revised and things like that. So there's a few revisions that will need to be added
Specifically, we need to have people who are inclined to, first, that understand that we have a problem within our community and are inclined to do something about it. So that's that may be a mental state. There's a few other words. So there's things like teachable and open to new things. So there may be like some redundancy there. So, you know, those things could be collapsed. And just stuff like that. So so the other comments that are being made, people are just sharing from their heart their commitment or their frustration or their commitment to this organization and to trying to empower our people and try to help improve our situation, or the frustration with talking and dealing with other folks who are just not ready. Which coincidentally is the purpose for having this document. Once the document is finalized, it will be something for us to go and basically use as a measuring stick when thinking about inviting someone else or speaking to someone else. So Brother Vaughn, he just said that, you know, he's talking to, you know, he's been promoting, but chances are he's probably not using this measuring stick yet. Like me. So I go and I'll strike up a conversation with a lot of men and women that I see it, and usually I'll open it up by addressing a brother as brother. And I'll be like, hey, what's going on, brother? And I'll see how he responds. And if he responds positive, I may engage him, you know, in a conversation, something like, yo, you like, you know, are you aware of like the problems that's going on in our community? How you feel about those? Like, what do you think some of the solutions? And I mean, like I said earlier in the call, there's some people who are like, no, what problems? What are you talking about? Oh, you mean Trump? I'm like, no, I'm talking about within our own community.
I get
you. Yeah, like so that's essentially, you know, I just basically recapped the whole thing. All right.
Okay. Well, yeah, I appreciate it, Brother Lewis. So I apologize to everybody for coming late, but my response to that is that, and being a salesperson, I'm always, you know, overcoming objection, and here's something that would kind of help us in the field, because we're already doing it from right now. But, okay, what this is old saying I found out, okay, and it's this what it is, okay, professionals are sought, amateurs sell. Okay, now, so it's what it is. So now, right now, we're in a sorting process with the program that's developing us right now. We're in a sorting process. So we're sorting the people that's gonna make the cause work. So to be right. To all the brothers and sisters, be encouraged, because this has to happen in order to get to us. Okay, so everybody be encouraged, because that we are in a sorting process now. At the end of the sorting process, we're gonna have the pure goal. And the pure goal is going to be the people that's going to come in and say, you know what, I'm going to do this to get this resource center open. My church is going to do this to get wide. Because like the other brother said, when people start seeing it, we're in a position as we are being sorted, and we're learning how to sort. As a salesperson, I had to learn that, hey, you don't go after trying to sell everybody. You just, you know, you have a measuring stick, and if they meet that, that's going to sort them, and they come to where you got to go. So. I can appreciate you bringing me up to date there, brother. Yeah. All right.
No problem.
Thank you.
All right. Yes, sir.
All right, brothers and sisters. We thought we were going to end this, you know, a little bit earlier, but there's only like about 12 minutes left, according to my calculations. So I guess now is a good time to put a pin in this. So I will put Sister Raina in touch with Brother George. Sister Raina, please send me an email, and then I will send you Brother George's email, and you guys can, you know, work on the document, and you know, you can put your flair on it. I do like her suggestion with, yes, you know, members should, you know, and turn it into a verb. I do like that, or members are, yes, or members have, or whatever it is. And so then they become statements and things like that. Or prospective members is even better. or right. something. Actually, we had some words. I'll go back and look at what it is because I do have something that I used, and I'll send over those characteristics there too. So, all right. So, brothers and sisters, I want to thank you all for coming, for joining us on this call. It was there was a lot of positive energy here. I want to thank everyone that contributed and shared their thoughts. I don't know if we're going to have a call next week. I'll talk with Brother George. We'll see what develops. But we definitely appreciate your participation because when you guys participate, you guys help us, you know, with managing and conducting these calls. You guys give us energy to feed off of. You guys give us your thought process. It's feedback for how we're progressing as an organization and how we're managing and things like that. And it also gives me motivation to keep pushing. So,
If I could interject one additional assignment for everybody, it's one thing to go out and get members with the recruiting boundaries that we have set. But before we do that, I want everybody to think about how they measure up themselves individually to this document and to do a self-assessment on your strengths and your weaknesses as regard to this document. For some of you that have the book, there's a section in there that does a self-assessment, but you don't have to do it that way. But I highly recommend it. Whenever we meet, spend some time thinking, where do I measure up in these stated goals? Because we're going to use that. We have to apply this document. And to apply it, we've got to be that. So I just want to plant that seed and we'll dig into it more on the next meeting.
Okay, so what Brother George is referring to on the what is that? That's the right side. On the right side, there is a link to his book. It's black. It's what's the definition? Beliefs limiting.
Beliefs limiting authentic cultural knowledge.
Right. It's a good book. Great, dare I say? I thumbed through the thing a lot. And try to, you know, he said, like you said, there's a self-assessment test in there. One of the things is like, you know, like the school district that your children go to, and how do you think about like the colonizers? What do you think is going on in their school district and stuff like that? And where would you want your kids to go? And all of that. Those are questions that we kind of want to be real with ourselves with and all of that. So it's very eye-opening. So there's a link there. It's on Amazon. You purchase the book. Brother George gets his fee, and the organization gets a small commission, and it doesn't come out of Brother George's pocket, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So it's basically like a win-win-win, a triple win. We take the money from Amazon. So, all right, brothers and sisters, I want to thank you all for participating, and just, you know, keep your eyes open and your email for the next members meeting. We'll have our Thursday call as scheduled. All right, peace.
Good night, brothers and sisters.
Good night, brothers and sisters.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night.